This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it real? Is this all real? And can we totally get on board? I'm like, again, I'm telling you, and like, I totally didn't expect this. I'm walking into work and people are looking at me going, are you kidding? Look at the calves. I had two guys was walking in. They were fist pounding me on the way in going, can't believe it. Look how great this team is right now. It's so early in the season. Right. That's what sucks.
It's early in the season, but what you're seeing is stuff that's sustainable. They are getting scoring from so many different places. They are getting defense from so many different places. They are having ball handling from so many different places. They are a multifaceted offensive team. And the defense is held up from where it was last year. They're the kind of team we in the playoffs, especially that Knicks series that sticks out in everybody's mind, a little bit in the Boston series, we were continuing to lose our mind because this team would fall back to dribble, 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 high screen and roll, dribble, dribble, dribble,
stick.
Donovan Mitchell throw up some kind of a shot and save the day.
Yeah, it was like they didn't have a purpose at the end of the game. Or they're like, oh, well, is Donovan Mitchell going to bail us out of this? Or do we turn to Garland? What are we doing? Which one of – now that doesn't feel
that way. It was an offense that was whoever brought the ball up the court got to shoot it. That's what it felt like with Garland and Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley was an afterthought. You know, it very much kind of felt like Evan Mobley was like, okay, you'll find your points when you get them. You're like Jared Allen. We're not really going to feed you. We're not really going to feature you. We're not going to do any of those things. But you're going to get, on putbacks and rebounds and on a pick and roll, maybe you'll be the roll guy. Now it feels like Evan Mobley is an integral part of what this offense wants to do.
I hate to say there's a big game early in the season, but how big is this game against the Warriors? Now, they're 7-1. Steph Curry had 27. They beat the Celtics 118-112. Like, I kind of feel a little bit like the Warriors-Cavs rivalry could pick up a little bit of pace. It's just I'm having trouble putting my foot down on the gas pedal because it's so early in the season. But don't you think we're going to get a better feel for how good this team is, for everyone that wants to sit around and talk about, the Cavs haven't really played anybody. The Knicks are a pretty good basketball team, right?
Yeah, and they're still figuring some stuff out, too. Like, I could see why people would say that, but I also can look at those same people and say, from what you are watching, how can you not enjoy what you're seeing? This is a different basketball team than what you watched last year. This team is better. Their goal, at least 9 games in, the reason they let go of J.B. Bickerstaff and brought in Kenny Atkinson is because they wanted an offensive tactician. Guess what? You have one. You have an offensive tactician. The defense has held up the way it did last season. This is legit. This is what you want. This is what a team, dare I say, that can make a deep, deep playoff run, this is what they're able to do and how they're able to do it. Be multifaceted. Don't be the team that goes, okay, they're going to run high screen and roll here. Let's just trap it, and all of a sudden they're done. Or let's just switch it, and all of a sudden they're done. This team now can find multiple ways to score. And this Golden State game, you're going to have offensive tactician versus offensive tactician. And let's see what this looks like. I'm pumped.
All right, so
I'm ready, man.
But is this a point where you say, okay, I'm in? I'm in. Like, I'm already in. It's not.
Yes,
they're 9-0 out of the gate. It's like, it's hard not to be in, but it's. I don't want to say, but when LeBron was here, we were so spoiled. Like they could be 5-4 right now, and we'd be like, well, LeBron's here. Who cares? Let's just get me to the end of the season. I don't care what seed they are. And then we would get towards the middle of the season or towards the end of the season. You're like, oh, I wish we were the one seed so we would have home court advantage in the Eastern. Or I wish we were the one seed so we could have home court advantage in the NBA Finals. But I can live with it, If the town isn't already pumped right now about this team, a win against the Warriors, I think, will add even more excitement.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because this is team basketball. And it just amazes me to think that it was just – I can't think it was just J.B. Bickerstaff. Like, there had to be more than that But Kenny Atkinson has figured out a way to put the pieces together and in all the right spots.
Well, and you could clearly see that Evan Mobley worked on his offensive game in the offseason.
Yeah.
And you could clearly see he worked a little bit on his ball
handling.
But
I think part of it's mental. Like, I think he's just so much more aggressive.
Well, yeah. You're 100% right. And again, he's 22. Like, he's not a finished product. And so you're seeing how these guys are able to just add stuff on top of their games. And it seems right now that Darius Garland is fine being the facilitator who is also going to find his points along the way. And you're seeing right now that Donovan Mitchell is going, yeah, I'll take the half step back. I don't need to put up 30 a night. I don't need to be the top scorer in the league. I don't need to be top 10 in scoring or any of that kind of stuff. I'd rather be more efficient than be top 10. And you're seeing Jared Allen as well have these big games along the way where he's not only grabbing a whole bunch of boards and not only grabbing a whole bunch of block shots, but is also finding a level of offense as well. He's finishing over both shoulders. They're featuring him in various things. It's not like it's, hey, just go hang under the basket, grab rebounds, and dunk. There's a purpose to what they want to do on offense. That's what stuck out to me more than anything else.
So the Celtics are averaging 122 points a game, 0.3. And the Cavs are averaging 123.2, so they're ahead of them there. And, you know, you've got the Warriors coming in, which we always think is, you know, high-scoring team, and they are. They're 121. In fact, they lead the Western Conference in points per game at 121. But they are also, you know, defensively giving up 105 points a game, where the Cavs are giving up 110. That's why I think this game against Golden State is going to be a lot of fun and super interesting. Like, it almost brings me back to the days where you're thinking about Steph Curry and that mouthpiece hanging out of his mouth, and you just loathe him when he walks into the arena and you just want to boo him up and down. But, you know, again, this is about quality basketball. This is about fun basketball. This is about watching a team that, you know, has kind of grown right before our eyes. Can you buy into what Darius said just about it? One of the reasons this team is better is just because they're a year older? I will say this. The front office believed in the players, and they didn't believe in the coach. And so far, the front office is 100% correct through 9.
I, of course, buy it. I think that is the key to this team from the very beginning, is just age and gelling more than anything else. I mean, again, everybody wanted to bury Darius Garland, and everybody forgot the number one thing about Darius Garland, which is that the guy had his jaw wired shut and had to have his meals through a straw for a month. I mean, think about that. Think about having to drink all of your meals for a month, then having to go play professional basketball and move as fast as you can and make those decisions and all of that stuff. Of course, he's going to get bounced around. He's not strong enough. Why? Because he's drinking his meals through a straw because his jaw was wired shut.
It's way cheaper than semi-glutide, I can tell you that.
That's got that going for him. Good That's point.
And less painful. Too. Well, I don't know. Having your jaw wired shut would be more painful. Yeah.
Far more painful.
Yeah.
Like, I never understood why everybody was burying Darius Garland to begin with. Because it just was like,
because
guys.
It seemed like it was a duplication of the same player. And we said that not only about the backcourt, but we were saying that about the frontcourt. And now suddenly no one's saying that about the frontcourt.
Well, but it's more than that. It was a bunch of people going, Garland sucks, you need to bench him. That was the phrase that we heard more times than I could count. And I was like, Garland doesn't suck. Garland's a really good player. He's a really good point guard.
He seemed so happy last night. Like, Tristan Thompson was messing with him during the post-game interview. Like, these guys, again, winning cures all ills. And you can't really have jealousy when you're winning every game. And you've got different scorers who are leading the way every night. And, like, that's how you build a championship team, is you get everyone to buy in. And the front office put their foot down, you know, really, if you think about it, and said, we're just going to stick with what we've got. I think we all looked at him and said, but if you think about it, the Guardians and the Cavs kind of have the same MO. Like, they didn't mess with a whole lot. And I don't know if it was more, I know we all want to say this, so I'm just going to say it before everybody else does. But if that's more fiscally concerned than it is, you know, able to just mix things up to get better for the Guardians. But it worked, right? It worked. Mm-hmm. And they got just as hot as the Cavs were throughout the season. It came back. We got a little worried there down the stretch, but then they came back and brought us back to where we kind of want to be. And, you know, went in and had a super competitive series against the Yankees. Did you want more? Yeah, I wanted more too. But the future seems so bright right now that you're happy about that. They just need to fix the pitching. But for the Cavaliers at this point, I mean, they're 9-0 to start the season. The miracle team didn't do that.
Maybe it was just as simple as father time and somebody who understood offense.
Brad Daugherty teams didn't do that, right? The LeBron teams didn't do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I think we need to be looking at it and having some fun and looking to see what happens. I know it's a long season, but I can't tell you. I'm pumped about the way things have started. Give us a call, 216-474-0092. Want to hop in on the Cavs conversation? Feel free to do so. Nick Costos is going to join us at 11. Jamel White at noon. Seth DeVolve at 1.
No, I can't say that. With no part of me can I come back and say this is all on J.B. Bickerstaff and they were terribly coached and got here on talent. I'm sorry. That is like the simplest boiled down solution of just not truth possible. Like, you know, it feels like one of those things that you were told in school a whole bunch of times and then you got out in the real world and learned that like, oh yeah, this was caused by like a litany of things and not just one singular thing. You know, that's kind of what it feels like with this. No, it's maturity. It's Darius Garland putting weight back on, putting some muscle back on so he could play better. It's Evan Mobley becoming more comfortable. It's Evan Mobley having the ball in his hands a little bit more and using more of what he can do. It's Donovan Mitchell taking a half step back and looking more efficiently than it is, I'm just got to carry this team every single night again and again and again. And it's an offense, you know, an offensive tactician that can move things all over the place. It's Ty Jerome being able to come in off the bench and be a pass-first point guard that this team didn't have since Ricky Rubio, that you could come in and run a different kind of offense with Ty Jerome in there. Like, it's all of those things combining. It's Dean Wade, until last night, playing really well until he got banged up a little bit. It's fine. It happens. It's a long season.
Let's take your focus away from the Browns. Is this kind of like, I mean, I'm just being honest. Can the Cavaliers take your focus away from the Browns right now? Is it possible to go all in? I got 15 heads from Walsh Jesuit here all shaking their heads saying, yes, that maybe we should be focusing more on the Cavaliers than we are on the Browns. Yeah, the thing about it is, because the Browns only play 17 games and it feels like that's all they're going to play, like I would bet my house on it, that's all they're going to play this season, that it's such a special and unique time that when they have their one win, it lasts for a week. And then all of a sudden you get back on board with the Browns after a week. It's hard to ignore what's going on with the Cavaliers right now. I mean, they're not in your face. They should be, right? I go back and I don't know why I'm so hung up on thinking about, is this just a coaching change? But, man, they're playing the game the right way. And it's hard to, it's hard for me to,
without the ball.
Yeah, it's hard to nitpick what they're doing right now, because if you are, that's what you're doing. You know, when you turn to the guy, and I thought Brad Seller said this best after the game last night. He said they were in a position, or maybe it was Jim Jones. It might have been Jim Jones right at the end of the game when he said, look where they were. Pelicans hanging around a little bit in this game, and then they went to their closer. And you come up with a couple three-point plays down the stretch, and the next thing you know, you've got to win. And they figured out the formula for success. You got, 50 off the bench last night? 50. So, you know, they got the Warriors next. And, you know, the Warriors, you know, think about this, that they're eyeing down the Warriors start right now, right? It's still early. It's 9, right? We're at 9. We're looking for 10, and 10 would be the Warriors. So if you're looking to make real history, I mean, they started the season 24-0. In 15-16.
I forgot about that.
24-0.
Wow. I totally forgot about that. You're right.
So 9 just kind of seems like an appetizer compared to that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be all kinds of fun. And Jared Allen addressed the media yesterday, had this to say when it came to one of the things that we're talking about, which is the idea that they went into this offseason and they didn't make a whole lot of moves. They just kind of brought everybody back with a different mindset. Audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network, Ohio. Caris LeVert backed up the same exact idea in a postgame press conference.
And maybe that's just this team that's been together for a year now, at least a little bit more than a year, as they, you know, some guys have been around for a little bit while, but, you know, you get another season under your belt. You understand the concept of, you know, where a guy's going to be before he gets there. And Kenny has really implemented this, let's get that ball moving, don't let it... I'm telling you, it's everything that we watched last year with the problems fixed. And it's in some ways we were looking for reasons to sit here and say, oh, well, this is why this isn't working, and they can't get by Boston, or they can't get by Philly, or, uh-oh, look at this, the Knicks are there. Now, is it going to last all season like this? I don't know. We've got a lot of harmony. And a lot of people are thinking before the trade deadline, there's just no way that they can, you know, make it through the entire season with the way they're playing. Now when you watch it, you're like, maybe they can.
And the big words there were continuity.
Yeah.
In a league where continuity is completely falling apart. I mean, we're talking about a sport where every single offseason, some star player basically walks up to the front office and says, I want out. Like, every single time. Klay Thompson was the perfect example. Klay Thompson basically just walked up and was like, I need to get out of Golden State. I am not going to take a pay cut. I got to get out of here. Like, we're in this world where these guys, after a while, are just like, I can't fix this. I want out. Get me out of here now. And then they get traded. Here's a Cavs team that has stayed together. And while we have sat there and went, well, you know, there's overlap between the two big guys. Well, you can't win with two undersized guards, you know. Andy, I don't like the setup of 2-6-1 guards. Like, how many times have we heard that from a guy who's not here right now? And then yeah. I would say that right back to
him. It's duplication of skills. Duplication. Now it doesn't feel that way.
Now it doesn't feel that way because the continuity, these guys have learned how to play together. And maybe we all questioned Kobe Altman. And we all sat there going, oh my gosh, are you serious? You're going to sit here in the entire offseason. You're going to do nothing. You're not going to move Darius Garland to San Antonio and bring back, you know, Sochan or Johnson or any of those other guys that could give a little bit of length and a little bit more, you know, fill the need that this roster has. Instead, you're going to run it back. Are you serious? Are you nuts? You're not going to move Jared Allen for Brandon Ingram? You're not going to do those things? No, we're sticking with this because I want to see what it looks like.
I wonder how much of this is on Mitchell coming back too, right? I mean, last year you play and...
That's a good point.
You know... You play this game, and we lived it with LeBron, like, oh, is LeBron coming back next year? And, uh-oh, we can't lose LeBron. And really, we couldn't. But it was, you know, is he going to – and then it felt like he was holding the franchise, you know, kind of up in the air and all of us in limbo trying to figure out what was going to happen the next season, especially when they weren't winning championships, right? So now Mitchell says he commits. He said he laughed at all the stories that were out there about him going back to New York and him doing this and that. And he find out that he actually did like it here. But I also think an important part of his well-being here in Cleveland is making sure you're not running him out there for the entire game. Last night, yeah, he had 34 minutes, but Jared Allen had 35. Should he have 30 minutes a game? Yeah, of course he should.
Yeah, he's a starter in the NBA.
Yeah, and he's your superstar, right? But... should he have enough rest to be able to give you the kind of finish that he had last night? And I don't think we were seeing that last season. I think, and this, my one huge knock on JB especially was that he was playing every game like it was game 7 of the NBA Finals, where every night now when you go back and look at the box score the next day, it's 10 guys out there. And he could go deeper if he wants to. But there's 10 guys, and every guy's having fun. And like I said last night, you were listening... and like when I heard the post-game interviews on the radio last night, Tristan Thompson's like dumping water on Darius Garland in the middle of the interview. And it's just, you know, the whole pie in the face thing when you're watching the Indians slash Guardians, when you know those guys are having fun. These guys are not only having fun, they're moving the basketball, they're playing the way the coach wants them to, they're spreading out the playing minutes, and they're also... taking turns being the leader on the floor when they need a big basket. And they also know how to find that hot hand at the end of the game. And we've seen that several times in this 9-0 run. they're able to find the guy that's hot, and that's what they're banking on. It's really like you can't sit here and complain about anything, really.
No,
I have nothing to complain about with this team.
No,
and let me check myself. Yeah, that's me. I have nothing to complain about.
You can't. I mean, 9-0 kind of speaks for itself, but more than anything else, like, everyone is involved. We can't sit here anymore and go, oh, Evan Mobley needs the ball in his hands. Evan Mobley needs to do this. And then have the other side come back going, well, yeah, well, Evan Mobley does have the ball in his hands and he doesn't know what to do with it. Like, we can't even have those arguments anymore because this right now is humming. Again, the first game, I'll never forget tuning in and seeing Evan Mobley bring the ball up the floor. And I'm like, what is happening? This should not be happening. Why are we letting a 7-foot guy bring the ball? And then it worked. And it looked good, and he made the right pass, and he set up the fast break, and he did all of that different stuff. It's like, okay, never mind. I'll hush. You people are smarter than me. You win. It has been fun. It's been awesome, and I think it continues. And this Golden State game is going to be a bellwether game due to the fact that they've never been the best at guarding those kind of 6-1 guards who are a little shifty and can find their own shots. Those are the people you look at with Darius Garland and go, all right, you got to stay in front of them. You can't be Dame Lillard on defense here. You have got to stay in front of these guys, and you got to go at it. And we'll see. Buddy Hield's been shooting the lights out too. So it's the same exact thing there. So we'll see. This is going to be a bellwether game. I'm pumped.
I look at, there's a column on ESPN, it's not wins, it's not box score, it's not streak, it's not fun? Leading score, no.
Celebrations?
Nope. My favorite column when I go through ESPN is how much are tickets for the next game. And it just tells you what fans are thinking in a lot of ways, and so they always have this tickets as low as blank. Golden State, tomorrow night, tickets as low as 49.
Woo!
That's the second most expensive game I see here. At home, it might be the most expensive game I see here. Until they go to Boston. What do you got? You got anything else? All right. Let's come back. We'll bring in our good friend Nick Kostos. He's going to give us all kinds of information on gaming, especially tonight's big battle in the AFC North. Plus, we'll be talking about the Browns. Jamel White's going to join us at noon. Seth DeVolve at 1 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.